Welcome to the Bambushi Happy Hour. I am Peju Bambushi Bothelsberger.
Hi, and I'm Naomi Bambushi.
And this is the Bambushi Happy Hour Pop Edition. What's up, Ma? How are you?
Everything is up. I'm doing wonderfully. How are you, daughter?
Oh, I'm doing really good. I had a great weekend. I visited some friends in Florida. I had a wonderful time. I think I was turned up every night. I took a sip of wine. That's
okay.
What I meant.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Oh, I know you would be a lady.
Well, I'm always being a lady.
Shout out to Martin Lawrence. I know you was being a lady.
Of course. So I had a really good time. I have no complaints.
Good. Did you do anything you want to share with the audience?
I went to a lot of speakeasies. I really enjoyed the speakeasy called Volstead in Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay.
It was really nice. The drinks were good. It was a good crowd. I really liked it.
Okay. Oh, wonderful. I'll keep that in mind. Very good. Just to visit sometime. Sounds good.
Okay. Well, you know what? More importantly, Ma, this is our anniversary week.
1 year. Can you believe it?
No. I think it's May 26,
2021. Oh, wow. Oh, that's exact. Okay. Well, we're going to have a congratulatory toast.
Of course we can do that. And we want to just kind of, thank all of the listeners because we appreciate you guys.
That's right. Thank you, everyone, for your support. We enjoy it so much and we appreciate it so very much. Thank you all.
Okay. So, Ma, you're going to lead us in with a toast. Today, we're sipping on something in honor of AAPI month. So we're going to have a Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. I am not a peanut butter person at all, but that's what we're going to be drinking. And it's owned by an Asian American, Stephen and his wife, Brittany Yang.
Okay. All righty. Okay. Wealth and happiness and congratulations to Bambushi Happy Hour and congratulations to all the audience support. Congratulations to the listeners as well. Salud.
Salud. I said cheers, my bad.
Cheers as well.
Not bad. You okay, Mom?
That's pretty tasty.
So as we reminded everyone, this is our anniversary week. So we're going to have, some special segments. We have a special guest that's coming on Sunday that you'll hear. You remember our special guest, Taryn. So that's something special, something a little different for everybody.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, everyone, you really enjoy Taryn. He's special.
He really is.
He's high too.
So, okay. Ma, before
What's
we really
going on,
before we get into some pressing matters in pop culture, what about Better Call Saul? No, we're not supposed to really be talking about TV too much, but I mean, Kim and Jimmy, they were trending, and so was Howard. So, I mean,
R.I.P.
that episode,
R.I.P. Howard. That was just totally.
Did that episode impress you?
Blooded. Yes.
And I'm gonna miss Howard. It was just really unexpected.
I'm gonna miss Howard too. Unfortunately, Howard didn't always do the right thing, and not even necessarily the ethical thing. I'm not really sure, but he really never did do anything that was that cruel. It just seems like he was very undeserving of being just shot right in the head, point blank, bam.
It just
seemed like he was just absolutely a casualty of the war between the Salamancos, who is a Lalo and those, and whoever else the hell they want to rage war against at this point. At this point, is Chicken Man, we know. So Well,
you know what I was thinking about? I also I was thinking that this kind of reminded me of the way they did Hank, only it was worse with Howard, because you remember how like with Hank and Breaking Bad, Hank was kind of annoying, but eventually we grew to really like him and respect him.
Yeah, but Hank also was a cop.
Well, yeah, he was.
I mean, there was a certain level of danger that he would, you know, was assumed in his role.
Yeah.
You know, not Howard. Howard was a total civilian.
No,
Howard didn't know what was going on. Hank knew what was going on, you know, to a great extent.
I know. I felt bad for Howard.
Hank carried a gun. Yeah. Howard was dead drunk with a bottle of liquor.
And Howard was in an unhappy marriage. And
yeah, I mean, he was sleeping in the garage or somewhere. Yep. And I felt bad. I didn't really want Howard to get it. I really didn't want Howard to get it.
So we'll talk more about that on another episode, but I couldn't ignore the trending topic.
But Lalo, Lalo, I don't even want to talk about Lalo.
We'll see what that will happen with him. Ma, let's talk about something that is going on now. Another disease, monkeypox. So Ma, let's talk about monkeypox, which apparently is the new popular disease. So the CDC says it's investigating several cases of monkeypox in the U.S. All of the cases are related to travel and men, and there is no evidence that the virus has changed to become more contagious. So I'm not even going to name the states, because by the time this airs, I'm sure there'll be additional cases which are anticipated. Officials noted that there is no evidence that the virus is spreading widely in the country, and the U.S. has a stockpile of about 500 vaccines available for close contacts of infected patients. The majority of the current cases have been men who had sex with other men. Don't know why they said that. Monkey pox is not a sexually transmitted disease. However, it is transmitted through close physical contact and can be spread during sex. Two raves held in Spain and Belgium among gay and bisexual men have been connected to the current cases. What are your thoughts? Even the way that they put this out.
You know what? I personally have not read a lot about it. I have heard about it, you know, through the media and you. You know, I really am very suspicious about diseases that they say are predominantly spread through anal sex. Okay. Mm-hmm. I have my suspicions. I'm really not sure who's responsible for the narrative. I don't know how much they really know about it. Two things I always question. I question when they say the origin is always 90% somewhere in Africa and always starting with a monkey. Okay. Which, mm-hmm. you know, to me is like a whole bunch of question marks. Okay. Because mm-hmm. if it's that simple, you know, to find the, you know, how these diseases, you know, occur and so on and so forth, it would seem that they would be able to destroy the source, you know, right. Is this monkey somehow valuable some other way? You know, I mean, what's going on? You know, it just all seems so ridiculous to me. I think they need to do further research. I'm not saying that diseases aren't passed through sexual contact. We've always had that through the history of mankind, you know, mm-hmm. that diseases were, you know, transmitted that way, but mm-hmm. to single out a particular group, I have issues with that. And many people have anal sex, hetero and homosexual people have anal sex. So, you know, I think
that's a fact.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's some other components. And I just really think that, you know, it's just a whole bias and maybe false narrative created around lots of diseases. So, you know, I don't know.
To yeah.
Be, to be continued.
I'm not a fan of people saying this is not a sexually transmitted disease, but then they go on to say, oh, this is where it originated,
and but it's not from a grave. Transmitted, but here it is.
Here it is, right.
But this is transmitted, right.
And they blame it on gay men or bisexual men. Really?
Yeah.
Like what? Right. I mean, listen, you know, we just have to be careful, and they do have a vaccine for it. They just don't have a lot available. So hopefully it doesn't spread. I'm not a fan, like you said, of anyone ever singling out a particular group, especially a group that has been targeted for forever, for as long as they existed.
Yeah.
So I'm not cool with that, but you know, just be careful. That's all in general. Be careful.
For all of us.
All of us.
For
all
of us. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So let us move on to kind of an update. So Dave Chappelle. So the Los Angeles man accused of attacking Dave Chappelle said he was triggered by the comedian's jokes about the LGBTQ community and homelessness. And he insisted he never wanted to harm Chappelle. And so he said, I identify as bisexual and I wanted him to know what he said was triggering. And he said, I wanted him to know that the next time he should consider first running his material by people it could affect. Mind you, he's been arrested and he's in jail right now. He also said he expected to have a good time at the May 3rd Netflix is a joke show, but he grew angry and frustrated as Chappelle joked about his prior controversies with the LGBTQ community, as well as homelessness. He said, I'm also a single dad and my son is 5, Lee is 23, who at one point was homeless himself. It's a struggle and I wanted Dave Chappelle to know it's not a joke.
Right, good. So did he think he was going to have that discussion that night on the stage?
Right. He's also a wannabe rapper, man. Just wanted to let you know that.
So look, you know and I know it's all these people either is trying to get attention willfully, behaving foolishly to get attention. I don't know. You know, I don't know.
Right.
Or he genuinely has mental health issues. I mean, because anytime a comedian, even a non-comedian, but in particular comedians, anytime they perform, they're going to offend a bunch of people. That's what they do. That's the source of their jokes.
Yeah.
Talking about people. So if that's the case, and you already know that, and so, you know, to me, he was either deliberately trying to get attention, even negative attention. I'm not too sure. That doesn't seem that sensible, but it's possible because people are out there. He's either deliberately or involuntarily, you know, trying to get attention, you know, either poor impulse control
due to health
issues, or, you know, just doesn't give a damn. Or may have even just been high.
Listen, you know? he also said that he carries that weapon with him because he's a semi-celebrity. Of course, I don't know who he is, and I don't think you know who he is.
Well,
but maybe in his mind,
people gonna book him after that.
All right. Here's what I have to say. You knew who you were going to see. You did not have good intentions. You carried a weapon. You decided to run on stage. He did. I read somewhere, and I don't know if this is true, that he felt that the Will Smith slap kind of like motivated him to do that. Now, I don't know if that is true or not, but I did hear that. What I will say is that this man needs to be in jail for a little bit, get himself together, and he needs therapy.
Yeah.
You know, and clearly. I say this, no one, please, do not run on stage and attack a comedian. Comedians are there for entertainment. You don't have to go to their show. It is not a necessity. It is not a, what do you call it, Ma? When they were doing the pandemic, the service, it's not vital, or, you know, it is not something
that's not essential.
It's not essential. Yes, it's not essential. It is leisure entertainment. So don't go to the show if you can't handle a joke.
Now all that you said is exactly the things that people are supposed to consider But that requires having the ability to think clearly. And we are getting a population that does not think clearly. That's one of the terrible things about that whole episode with Will. Everybody's not going to walk out of there like Will did. Everybody's not going to be gloves off. A lot of people are going to get just what this guy got.
Broken arm and beat down
and his arm in jail.
Right.
And that's worse.
He's a young kid. He's 23 years old. And
well,
so,
however old he is, you know,
he's an adult.
Right. That's it. If he has the will to run up there on stage and threaten someone, that he's going to get it. And people are really looking at that now. So if he thought he was going to get some good, some positive attention, he should have maybe ran up there. Well, he shouldn't have ran up there at all. But let's say he did go up there. He should have ran up there and, hugged or, tried to make a joke or something like that. But you running up there on stage, aggressively with weapons on you. I mean, you're getting the beat down and you got it. And deservedly so, you know. So... Yeah. Moving right along.
Okay, so let's talk about another comedian. And this is terrible. Okay, I didn't even know he had a special coming out. And I'm a fan of this comedian. Ricky Gervais is getting a lot of backlash right
Ricky
now.
Gervais.
Okay, so listen.
Ricky Gervais is terrible. He's so funny.
So he has a Netflix special that just came out, like I said, at the time that we're recording this, hours ago, about some of his transphobic jokes, or they say it's transphobic jokes. So he says, oh, women.
They who? You mean the trans community?
Just the people who are criticizing him. Okay.
Right. Okay.
So he says, oh, women, not all women. I mean, the old fashioned ones, the ones with wombs. Those fucking dinosaurs. I love the new women. They're great, aren't they? The new ones we've been seeing lately, the ones with beards and cocks. he says, you can't predict what will be offensive in the future. You don't know who the dominant mob will be. The worst thing you can say today is women don't have penises, right? And then at the end, he says, in real life, I support trans rights. I support all human rights. Trans rights are human rights. Live your best life. Use your preferred pronouns. Be the gender that you feel you are. But meet me halfway, ladies. Lose the cock. So apparently some people are offended. I'm going to start this off. Listen, I do not think that I am transphobic. I am a huge supporter of the LGBTQ plus community. And I thought it was funny. I thought it was hysterical. It's a joke.
You know what? I swear to you, I know people should never say this, but I really believe that if I was trans, I think I would laugh.
I think I would laugh.
All right. I think I would have the same sense of humor that I have now. I might have the penis too, but I think I would have the same sense of humor that I have now. And I think it would be hysterical.
Right. I don't understand why.
No, trans, listen, let me tell you something, trans. You can't get mad. They make fun of all of us. They make fun of the comedians, make fun of everybody.
Right.
No group is exempt.
Right.
You can't do that. And they make fun of what is true
about us.
They make fun of what is not true, but you cannot be that hypersensitive. It's a comedian and they make fun of all of us.
Listen, if someone uses a racial epithet or somebody says something that's homophobic, like specifically, then that's going, you know, crossing the line, and that's inappropriate. Situation. But right, this is right. This is all like tongue in cheek. This is like a joke.
So absolutely, absolutely.
So I hope that we aren't offending anyone because we are supporters.
Well, we are not. This is not intended to offend anyone. It's intended to embrace everyone.
Right.
You know, the idea is that the comedians laugh at all of us. There are many things in the histories of African Americans in America that is not funny worth a damn. Right. But there are many things that we find that we can laugh about, right, and we do laugh about. Not, oh, don't make any type of joke about African Americans. You can make plenty of jokes. Don't make hurtful jokes. Right. Don't make slavery jokes. You know, and that type of thing. Okay. But there are many, many jokes that you can make.
And if you are a non-Black person, do not use the N-word.
Right. You know, there's certain things that are no-no. Yeah. But in the main, we all make fun of each of comedians in particular.
Yeah.
Comedians in particular.
Right.
And if I am a non-trans person, or a cis, what is it, pay a cis female, cis, or whatever?
Cisgender female,
and I make a trans joke, I'm just making a silly joke.
Yeah.
We'll
support you, and we'll still march with you, and for all your rights.
And whatever, and that's it, you know? You know, trans, we want you to... We want you to lighten up a little bit, okay? We want you, because taking that stance is not making people who are transphobic less transphobic.
No, it's not. And let me say this: Ricky Gervais happens to be a demographic that neither one of us are. He's old enough to be my father, and he's a white male.
Yeah. Right.
With that being said, Don't come for black Dave Chappelle. Don't come for Black women, and leave comedians alone. We are here to support you. We love you, and we will, like I said, we'll march with you.
There you go.
Okay. All right.
Well said, daughter.
All right. So Will Smith, he sat down with David Letterman, and on My Next Guest Needs No Introduction. And so this was pre-Oscar slap.
Yeah. Yes. I think it was recorded back in January. Yeah.
Yes. And so he talks about taking this thing called ayahuasca, which is a drink originating in South America that is brewed from plants that cause like a psychedelic experience.
Yeah, hallucinogenic type thing.
Correct. Yeah. And he said he just wanted to, you know, try something different and, you know, have an experience. So what he said was, it took a while for him to have the experience. It's like 45 minutes for it to actually kick in. He said, all of a sudden, it's like I start seeing all of my money flying away, and my house is flying away, and my career is gone. And I'm trying to like grab for my money and my career. My whole life is getting destroyed. And he even hears Willow, his daughter, calling out in anguish, "Daddy, help me, Daddy. How come you won't help me?" So, Mom, does this give you any more insight into Will's state of mind during the Oscars? That's the first question.
No.
No. Well, it seems like he is afraid. He has some type of fear for me.
But to me, he's really fearful. But to me,
and insecure.
Okay. Well, we know that, but I don't see the correlation between the two things, because if in fact that's how you felt, why would you jump up and do something so crazy? Why would you do something? Are you saying, do I think it's a self-fulfilling prophecy because he jumped up and did something that could help destroy his career? Because if in fact you took that as a warning, let me be careful, let me be mindful, because I could lose my money, I could lose my this, I could lose my that, you know, which is all not likely to happen. But if he took it in that manner as a warning, that the whole experience was just like a foreboding, then why would he jump up and behave so crazily and do something that could put, you know, certainly some of his money in jeopardy? So I'm not feeling that. I'm not feeling that. But if it impacted him, like I said, as becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know, you think something is bad is going to happen and you just behave in such a way to cause it to happen. You know, yeah. If it was one of those kind of things, I can see some connection with that because that's what he did. But I do not see it as him behaving that way because he was scared.
I think that this gave me a little bit of insight, not a lot. I think it made me see that Will obviously needed some more therapy, and that Will was seeking some type of answers and seeking something. He was seeking affirmation from outside sources. He like a lot, it appears. You know, he just
based you on mean that you mean the experience of having the drink. You don't
I mean all of it.
What happened or do? Oh, see, I'm thinking you're talking about what happened to him, what he experienced after having the drink, or do you mean how he felt before taking the drink? That he took the drink
all because of it, he was from beginning
well,
to end.
Well, okay. Now, if you're talking about whether or not he took the drink. Because he was hoping for some searching and seeking for some type of deeper insight into himself, mm-hmm. okay, and his whole situation. That very well could be the case because, clearly he's discontent with his marriage and maybe his whole life. I don't know. Maybe mm-hmm. not so much his career. That may be the one thing that's going really well for him, you know, but in terms of his personal life, his marriage in particular, I don't know about the kids, but definitely his marriage, he is seeking some sort of affirmation and or he may be questioning why he isn't enough or why he's going for something that he may never be able to get. You follow me? He may very well be looking for answers to those questions, and he may be seeking those answers in, you know, unorthodox ways because he has money and he has access to all sorts of things, you know, all sorts of different, let's just say methods, mm-hmm. you know, and he, you know, has lots of resources. So maybe so, you know, so maybe so. I wouldn't doubt that.
Yeah, it just made me think that he was questioning a lot of things, and that he was seeking answers from, like you said, unorthodox places. And I just, you know, could see some issues there. The other thing is, and this is my issue, would you ever try a ayahuasca? Would you ever try that?
At my stage of life, no, but earlier in my life, I wouldn't have hesitated because I've gotten most of the answers to the things in my life that I'm seeking. I might want to know why some other people have done certain things, but in terms of my own life at this stage, I think that's just you know, because of experience, age, experience, and so forth. But my younger self, even say 20 years ago, you mm-hmm. know, no. But see, some of the things.
No, 20 years ago?
Well, no. Maybe 20 years ago. But what I was getting ready to say, maybe 20 years ago, I may have. Okay. You know, but no. Listen, but what I'm really trying to say is that for Will, some of the things he's seeking answers to or things he just has refused to accept, that he really is being willfully, like his name, Will, he's yeah. being willfully foolish about the situation with Jada, you know, because okay. he's known her to be disrespectful mm-hmm. toward him. And he's known her that she had the affair some years ago. He's known that. He's not just now looking for answers.
Okay, it's fine. We don't have to even go there with that.
Okay.
That's fine. Okay. Let's move on to Idris Elba. So Idris Elba was also trending. And the reason why he was trending, because he admitted on a show that he asked Michael Jordan. I even said to him one time, I want to play you. And Michael Jordan was like, I'm not ready yet. That's what he said. I'm not ready yet. But Idris Elba was dead serious. He said, in my head, playing Jordan wouldn't be about playing the basketball player. It was about the businessman. He's a very astute businessman, really smart. And his work as a philanthropist is like unspoken, but people don't understand the work. He cares. He does a lot of work. So that's where I was hinting at. I want to play Jordan. I'm going to do that. But he was like, I'm not ready for that story yet. Could you see Idris playing Michael Jordan?
Now, you know, that word play is a pun. Mm-hmm. Because when you said he walked up to Jordan or spoke to Jordan and said, I want to play Jordan, I thought you meant he was calling him out on the basketball court.
Oh, no.
I want to play Jordan.
He
always challenged him, you know, and it would be right. Kind of
funny. Obviously, it was funny. But,
yeah, you know. Yeah. But you mean actually portray him in the movie?
Yes.
Well, Michael says he's not ready for that yet. And if he's not ready for that yet, I don't know that he could stop other people from making a movie about him. But as far as him giving his consent, approval, and so on and so forth, certainly he can do that or not at any point. I'm not sure what your question is.
Do you think that Idris Elba would do a good job playing Michael Jordan?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Michael Jeffrey Jordan, not Michael B. Jordan.
Right. I think he would do very well playing Michael Jeffrey Jordan, number 23, 2323. I think he would do excellent playing Michael Jordan. I don't think he would do as well playing Michael B. Jordan. Okay. I think he would do a good job. I think he's almost ideal, except Idris, I think, may have a... Idris, is this... I don't know if Idris has a nice body. I don't know. I think Idris is kind of heavy, because Michael Jordan was always slim. I mean, he's heavier, a little bit heavier now.
Yeah.
But you know, when he was playing, he was always slim.
Yeah.
But he was built, you know, but he was always thin. You know, he had his skinny legs. He didn't have nothing but muscle. He didn't have like fat on him, you know?
Okay. Well, I think that you just would do a good job playing Michael Jordan. I think it would be a really good casting.
Better looking version.
Right. That's what I was going to say. It's like, Michael, that's a compliment. If you have Idris, you don't want to wait until
later. What you're waiting for. But whatever.
You might not get your.
Yeah.
You might get the opposite of Idris.
You got that.
I know beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but a lot of people find Idris very attractive and he's a very good actor. So
yeah.
I would take it as a compliment, but who knows what Michael Jordan has in store. And we love Idris, so hey.
Oh yeah, we'll either see. Way.
So on to something that I don't think you're going to be too happy with. So Coco Austin, married to Ice-T, she was facing some criticism on the internet for riding her 6-year-old daughter in a stroller. Now, Coco is accustomed to people criticizing her parenting skills, as we know that she was up until the age of 5, and we don't know what she's doing now, but we know at least up until the age of 5, she was still breastfeeding her daughter. And she also got her little daughter tips before she started, I don't know what it was, kindergarten or whatever. So Ma, is this any of our business about what Coco was doing? Do you think that the 6-year-old is too old to be in the stroller, or you think that we need to just mind our business?
I think both. I think the 6-year is too old to be in a stroller, and I think we need to mind our business. They're both true.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. They're both totally true.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. I don't know about that 6-year-old's health problems. Okay. If she's a normal, healthy, normal, quote unquote, you know, functioning the way most 6-year-olds function, she certainly doesn't need a stroller. However, you don't know about that door. You don't know about her health. We don't know. We have no idea unless they shared with us about any health issues that the 6-year-old has.
And she appears to look healthy, but like you said,
no, that means nothing. Oh, please. I've seen many healthy people in the coffin. Okay, please don't tell me about that. People who look healthy, we don't know that. We don't know that. Yeah. No, I'm making a point. You can't look at somebody and say, oh, they look healthy. I mean, you can say it, but you can't ever really know.
Okay.
Right? So I'm just saying, if she's a regular healthy, I don't like to use that word normal, although I've said it. If she's a healthy 6-year-old, mm-hmm. she does not need to be in a stroller. Whether the mother thinks she's pampering her, I don't know what.
I don't know if they were on vacation. I'm not exactly sure.
Well, I don't even know what it is. It could be anything. It could be any kind of health related issue. But other than that, a 6-year-old would not need to be in a stroller. You know that.
Well,
6-year-olds don't require a stroller.
No. Well, what I will say is, number one, I'm completely on point with you. It's really none of our business. Right. Number two, you know, if that's what they think is good and whatever for their child, then that's on them. I would hope that it wouldn't necessarily be my personal choice. I don't have a 6-year-old, so I don't know. But I would say in general, she looks like she's, you know, a big girl and she doesn't need to be in the stroller, but we don't know what is going on health-wise and we don't know whatever.
And we know a 5-year-old doesn't need to
six.
She was five with the yeah. breastfeeding. We also right. know that is nothing that she needs, mm-hmm. even if she needed breast milk, because she is that big. If it was some reason she needed breast milk or it was good for her, the mother could always express the milk. Why on earth would you still be breastfeeding a child with a damn full set of teeth?
You know what I think that they should do, Ma? I think that they should not allow people to post pictures of their children on social media anymore, because people are going to comment and say things and these kids are going to look back on it and think all types of things. Maybe they should just not allow kids under a certain age on social media. And I mean, even their image. Because, you know, it really is just ridiculous at this point, you know, because the parents, they have their agenda and the kids, they don't have it. They have to just go along with it. So,
yeah.
So whatever.
That's a whole nother conversation. But yeah. there's a lot to be said for that argument. There's a lot to be said for that. Even all the way up to the age of 18, where they can, you know, consent to it or mm-hmm. whatever, you know, really, there's a lot to be said about that. A lot to be said.
So this topic, So Jamie Foxx was trending because he was spotted on vacation with a young woman. The young woman happened to be a young white woman, and Twitter was apparently not too happy about this. Why is this an issue? And what
anything, are your thoughts? Anything pretty much about Jamie Foxx is a non-issue as far as I'm concerned.
Is that any of our business?
We know that's already, that goes without saying that it's not our business. But he is a public person, so people, you know, talk about him and so on and so forth. But Jamie Foxx is one big dull dud. And, you know, Jamie Foxx, he needs to just go out with whoever will go out with him. Whoever he can get to go out with him, that's good.
And that's what he does.
I remember he was interviewed by Oprah Winfrey years ago, and he was talking about how all the girls used to reject him when he was broke. And then all of a sudden, when he got money, all of a sudden, you know, they was coming all around him and this and that and so on and so forth. So Jamie has had a lot of negative experiences because Jamie has never been what you call a handsome hunk or sexy or whatever, you know. And, you know, so Jamie has had a lot of rejection, maybe more than the average guy, because he was, you know, below average, not even average at best. You know, so, you know.
No.
Okay. All right.
He can't help whatever looks he has.
R.I.P. Kevin Samuels.
Okay. Yeah. What I will say, you know, like I said, that's his business, whoever he dates,
that's
whatever
totally
race he wants to date.
What's the big deal? And we all know he went with Katie Holmes.
Yes.
Whatever so-called secret that was for a while. Right. I mean, what is the novelty?
Right.
Who cares? Not that many women want Jamie Foxx.
Okay. Well, so.
Come on. You know that. You know no woman knocking down Jamie Foxx's door. Not for him.
That's not on me. I'll leave that alone.
No matter who you think got the biggest fan club. You think he is Idris Elba?
No, but there's a big difference between been, him and
has
Idris.
Has he ever been Denzel? Has he ever been Denzel? Well, what? Come on.
He could be Cat Williams.
Cat got a better hairdo.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He does.
Oh, my God. Oh, but our Cat is more interesting.
Yeah, he is.
He's more lively.
Cat has a lot of swag.
Funny or outrageous or offensive you want to call him. He's all those things, you know. He's got a lot more going to his for his personality, you know, than Jamie does, you know. So, no.
Oh, God. Okay. So, I know you saw the video. Former NFL player Brandon Langley was arrested after he we saw it with our own eyes, got into a fight with a United Airlines employee at Newark Liberty International Airport.
Oh, that was at the Newark Airport.
Yes.
I didn't even realize what airport it was.
And the video appears to show that the employee slapped Brandon in the face first. And so Brandon slapped him back and threw a few punches before sending the employee crashing behind the check-in counter.
Yeah.
And the employee was bleeding. Eventually, he did get up and still wanted to fight more. So anyway, the employee has been fired, but Brandon was arrested. He's on bail now, but he was arrested for simple assault. Now, Mom, what are your thoughts on the entire, like on the punishment for both? And then I have a follow-up.
Well, what I saw was, I don't know how it went down, but what I saw in the video that I saw, the person who initiated the contact was the staff, the airline staff person. Mm-hmm. That's what I saw. And I saw the football player defend himself. Mm-hmm. That's what I saw. Mm-hmm. I saw the employee get the worst of it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but he actually physically initiated the attack on the football player.
That's so
what was the football player supposed to do?
Yeah.
You know, so that's what I saw. Maybe, you know, it was edited. Maybe the football player just decided I'll go over and just smack the shit out of this, you know, employee here, you know, who works for the airlines. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it was just totally crazy, you know, but that's not what I saw.
He has a job. He's working in like the Canadian Football League and he's
Well, I mean, you know, irrespective to all that, what I saw was the airline employee physically attack or hit the football player.
So what are your thoughts on the punishment though, Ma? Because
the employee the airline employee definitely should have been fired because I mean what's up? You don't just attack, you know, he definitely should have been fired because the airline can get sued up the wazoo, you know, so he should have been fired. And I don't think anything should have happened to the football player at all. Because he was attacked. It was what I saw was self-defense.
Yeah, I don't think he should have been arrested for simple assault. I mean, like I said, look, if there's something that if there's something that we're missing, but what we saw, it appeared that the United Airlines employee physically attacked or initiated the fight, physically hit Brandon first. So I think that the United Airlines employee, you know, should be arrested. I don't know. I mean, he got embarrassed and beat down. So I don't know really how much time he needs to serve, but he needs to do some community service and get some therapy, I think, for him. But something is obviously wrong.
He needs to get some real intensive anger management for sure.
Right.
Anger management training. Absolutely. That's for sure.
And this man is running up, this United Airlines employee is running up on a big football player. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean.
Like, what are you doing?
But you don't know. But then when people behave like that, you don't know if they have a weapon or what. Because, you know, it just seems nonsensical. You know, why would you even be doing?
Should be in the airport.
Oh, well, hey, you know, you don't know. He's an employee. You don't know what he has on him. You know, so. you know, much ado about nothing in the end, I hope. And I'm sorry that the football player was arrested, because it didn't appear that he did anything except try to get this man off him. And he had to get rough with him, because the guy kept coming back.
Yeah.
So he had to get him off him. If he could, you know, so what else could he do?
So I have to take the rest of my shot, because I couldn't finish my, peanut butter whiskey shot? I couldn't finish it before this next one. So
ready?
Yep.
Another toast?
Another toast, yep.
Okay. Here's to a wonderful holiday weekend. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers and salute.
And salute.
Okay. So, Ma, here's a follow-up. Mr. Alec Baldwin apparently didn't see things quite the way we did. He said the guy working at the airport is the victim. He came to work to do a job. The other guy with his big mouth is guilty of workplace abuse, where people come to work with an expectation of safety, even civility. This asshole who hit this guy should be put on a no-fly list. Now, that is what Alec Baldwin, who should not talk about anything.
Now, this is what I want to say. Who the hell interviewed him? Who in the hell interviewed that murderer, Alec Baldwin? Didn't he just kill somebody on the set of his last movie?
Yes.
He just shot somebody to death. I wonder what, he killed the damn director. I wonder what her expectation of safety was on the job. Who even interviewed him? I'm not commenting on that. Who had the poor ass taste to interview him?
Now, we will say for legal purposes that alleged, and that it appeared that Alec Baldwin was responsible for the woman, you know, death on the set. We know that. Right. Just, you know, with all that being said, he's in a lot of trouble. He should feel guilt every single day. And he has no reason commenting on anybody else.
He's somewhere shut. But who reported his comments?
I know it was on TMZ, and I'm not exactly sure if he commented on something on social media.
I can't even believe it. It's social media, I got, because I guess he's allowed to be on social media still since he's free. I guess he could do whatever. I don't know. But I mean, for somebody to actually take the time and actually interview and report what he said, you know, to me, that's a luxury that shouldn't be afforded to Alec Baldwin at this particular juncture in his life. He's always been aggressive and assaultive. Mm-hmm. And now somehow a movie with Alec Baldwin in and a gun held and handled by Alec Baldwin ends up being a murder weapon. Mm-hmm. You know, so he shouldn't be saying anything except getting himself together for his trial or whatever is going on.
Yes. Okay.
I don't know, let me comment on him. I can't even believe it. Alec Baldwin. You know, why didn't they go to the prison and there's some of those killers in prison? Alec Baldwin.
Okay. Well,
I can't believe that.
All right. So, Ma, it is time for your favorite segment, Naomi Knows Best. So, dear Naomi, my 25-year-old daughter is dating a man more than twice her age.
Wait a minute. This is the mother writing in?
It appears to be.
Oh, this is a problem already.
He is 52 years old. I've always been honest about my opinion with my daughter's boyfriends, but the last two honest opinions I gave my daughter, she said she respected but disagreed with my assessment of the relationships. Mm-hmm. I know this isn't true because I know she values my opinion, because both relationships ended shortly after we had our one-on-one talk. In the meantime, the time between me seeing my daughter grew from one breakup to 4 months, to the second breakup to almost a year. But in all accounts, the guy she's seeing now is a good guy. It's just that he's too old for my daughter. He's 52 and I'm 55. If I say something to my daughter now, it may put a strain on our relationship, but I don't want her wasting her youth on this man. Please help. I'd love your advice.
The daughter didn't ask me for any help. That's number one. I have an issue. Unless you're telling me you think your daughter is somehow mentally incompetent and needs some type of professional help, your daughter is able to make her own decisions about the men in her life. That's number one. And then you mentioned that you're 55 or whatever, and he's 52 or three or whatever. Oh, mom, have you met him and seen him yet? Oh, oh no. What's up? What's up, mom?
Oh, no.
And mom, what are you doing for yourself? Do you have someone in your life, mom? What's going on with you? Mom, you need to get busy with your own life, okay? Let your daughter figure it out. If you feel she's mentally competent and so forth, you can give your opinion, as all parents do. But understand, it's just an opinion. It's not your responsibility. If your daughter's not being physically or mentally abused, this might be a wonderful situation for her. I don't know. I don't know what she's looking for. I don't know if she has father issues or if, in fact, this man just presents as being such a wonderful guy, in her opinion, and she wants to have that experience. I don't know. But what I do know, mom, is you need to step back because you have too much mouth in your daughter's business. You said you told her about the first two and, oh, she broke up and you go, here you come with the, you know, mom, do you really want that weight to fall on you? If your daughter ends up resenting you for interfering so heavily in her relationships, do you want that to fall on you? Mom, what if perchance you're wrong and this is the happiest time of her life? What if she spends the next 20, 30 years with him? What if he takes care of her mind, soul, body, everything else? Mom, you might be wrong. We know it's not the usual situation, but mom, you may be wrong. Let that be her choice. Let that fall on her. I say, step back, mom, embrace your daughter. If it doesn't work out, you'll be there to heal her wounds and whatever and console her. If it does work out, you'll be there to continue to cheer her on, whichever way. But you need to step back, mom. You're getting really too involved in your daughter's situation. And that's what I think.
Okay. Well, I think that was good advice, Ma. I hope that this lady takes the advice. And I want to, you know, continue to tell everyone to please email us at allthingspageyou@gmail.com or just DM us on at the Bambushi Happy Hour with all your questions on relationship advice. We love it. And it will go towards the mom. And so she can answer your questions. She has really, really, really good advice. So Ma, this has been, you know, almost a year. I don't know when people are going to be listening to it, but just reminded everybody, May 26th is our anniversary. We will have two more episodes this week. So Ma, is there anything you want to say before we check out?
I just want to tell everyone, thank you so much for all your support. Continue to support us, and we're going to have interesting guests, and we're going to continue on with the trending and, you know, discussing, you know, all the different movies and TV series going on, everything mainstream, all different, diversities and on. And guys, we just love it, and we love you for supporting us, and thank you.
Thanks for listening, guys, to the Bambushi Happy Hour. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at the Bambushi Happy Hour, and also All Things Pays You. And follow us on our YouTube station at All Things Pays You. Bye, guys.
Bye.